Welcome to the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast from Fluent in 3 months.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. I'm your host, Benny Lewis, and this is part two of me going through a list of multiple things to keep in mind before you potentially move abroad. As I said in the previous episode, I know this is something that's on a lot of people's minds lately because there's a lot of stress around the politics in a country like the United States, and more people are considering, at least for a few years, maybe seeing what life is like in another country. So I gave four essential things that I would recommend you start thinking about as soon as possible in the previous episode. And continuing from there, the next thing I would suggest is, of course, you think about how you're going to be funding this in the long term through employment. One of the obvious things is finding a job in the country that you go to, but that can be extraordinarily difficult. Some working visas can be a bit of an uphill battle, and it can be a lot harder to find a job, even if you have a degree from university or a master's. Most countries, at least in the Western world and in Asia and a lot of places, already have a lot of very qualified people, and they speak the local language at a native level. So it's an extremely competitive environment. There are options where you can do something like potentially being an English teacher, and that way your skills in the local language aren't as necessary. But what I recommend above all else that people consider nowadays is trying to find online work, work that you can do based on an employer from the United States that you can set up right this second and bring with you. Now, obviously, working from home has evolved a lot, especially since the pandemic. It may be an option in the job that you currently have or a job you may have considered from a colleague or whatever, with the caveat that sometimes these may not pay as well. So I've always told people that if you're sure the country you're going to and you see the comparison on the cost of living and the cost of day-to-day activities, and you see that it is a truly cheaper country, you can do a lot with a wage that would not be feasible in your hometown. So it's fine sometimes if you consider accepting a pay cut, if the job is totally fine with you working online and that you could bring it abroad with you. So that is something to look into. I wouldn't be able to recommend one size fits all because it depends entirely on your skills, experience, the kind of job that you're doing right now, what you're open to doing. But based on what you know you could potentially do, try to find work online from an American company that's paying you in dollars. Of course, I'm saying this with it in mind that a lot of listeners are from the US, but this applies equally to other countries because obviously I'm Irish. And for my initial years of travels, I had work as a freelance translator, and my outsourcer was based in France. So using the EU, I was able to earn in euro and spend in much cheaper countries and take advantage of that, even though what I was earning would not have been enough for me to have lived a very comfortable life in Dublin. I could do plenty of things in so many other countries. So highly prioritize that if you can. It's okay if you get a little bit of a pay cut because that can still take you very far. Now, even if you can't get work full time, it's still worth investing into this to get just a little bit of work, even if it's just 10 hours a week or something, because that can still ease the burden that maybe you don't have to find a complete replacement for work when you go abroad. You could work part-time or whatever it may be. So if you can set that up ahead of time, absolutely do that. The next thing is to think about the logistics you're going to have to deal with ahead of the move. So one thing is how your mail may be forwarded. The easiest thing by far if you just go to the post office website, then they actually have a mail forwarding option available, and to have it sent to a friend or a family member who can deal with processing things for you. That wasn't available to me, so I had to use a service in where my residence was in Texas. It's called Scan Mailbox, and they scan my mail for me, and I can see that online, and they can process the likes of checks and so on. But if you can do that, that helps that you know things are not being missed and nothing's falling through the cracks while you're away, because this is not necessarily moving abroad forever. This is moving abroad for several years with the potential of moving back, is what I'm thinking as I'm talking about all of this. You also have to look into cancelling things like your health insurance. This may come with fines and such, but if you can prove you are going to be out of the country, you can avoid a lot of that. So start looking into those sooner rather than later so you can find the proof and deal with the bureaucracy. And finally, I did mention in the previous episode to try to sell all of your stuff, but ultimately there'll be a few things left over that'll be personal items that you just don't want to sell. So you'll want to store them somewhere. Hopefully it's not too many things. Rather than paying for a storage box, if you can have a friend take care of that for you, that obviously saves a lot of money in the long term. So try to do that. The next thing is to look into all of the flights and the initial accommodation, and you make those bookings. You don't have to do that very far ahead of time. That does not need to be a day one thing. You can make a flight booking 1 or 2 months before you actually leave and still get pretty good prices. If you have any miles saved up, you can save money on that as well by paying for your ticket through those miles or points. And then you want to look for that initial accommodation. If you decided there's one particular place you want to stay long term, then you don't want to book the entirety of your stay through the likes of Airbnb, because the prices are inflated because of the Airbnb services. So if I know I'm going to stay in a place for long enough, I'll only book through one of those websites for maybe a week or two, and I'll use that week or two while I'm on the ground to look around and see if I can get a more direct option to pay somebody in the country in their own currency and not use any third-party services, because you save a lot of money that way. Another thing is you want to start looking into online communities and social media and following people from your destination and finding forums where you can talk about things. There's usually subreddit groups about it to get an idea of how some things you may not have considered ahead of time are going to be different in your target country, and you want to prepare for that. And then through social media, you get an idea of the day-to-day life of where you're going. And again, this can open your eyes up to a lot of things. And a tip I've given many times before is I start a brand new social media account when I'm going to a different country, so I can follow content in the language of that country. And that way it doesn't interfere with my feed on my main social media. So if you can do that, that helps a lot with logistics. And then finally, you want to start adjusting ahead of time to several things. So through these online communities and any books or websites that you find that talk about the cultural differences, you can try to adapt ahead of time. Maybe try to bake certain things into your routine. Try to meet up with people from your target country in your hometown, if at all possible, so you can learn how to adapt ahead of time. And then in the final week before you leave, you may even want to look into trying to do a time zone adjustment ahead of time. So where, depending on the time difference, I may start going to bed earlier or force myself to stay up later, just so that by the day I'm traveling, I'm already adjusted to the new time zone. And this means those initial days, which are so crucial, you're not completely exhausted. You may be exhausted from the flight. That's not that's very hard to avoid unless you can use your miles to get like a business class seat to sleep flat on the way. But you at least will only have that first exhaustion from lack of sleep, because jet lag can last a lot longer. And it's why generally, if possible, I try to spend the week before I move somewhere to gradually adjust my sleeping schedule so that I'm hitting the ground running, as it were. So between last episode and this episode, that was about 8 crucial themes of things to keep in mind ahead of moving abroad. Hopefully this has addressed some things you may have been considering. I'm going to try and do a series on YouTube going into each one of these bit by bit to explain this further, because I know this is going to be on a lot of people's minds over the next short term. So I really want to help people with that. I've got a lot of experience with moving abroad. I've been doing it for almost a quarter of a century, and I have experience doing it from the US. Even though I'm not from there, I was resident in the US. So I'm hoping you're finding this relevant and useful. And if so, I will be very happy to return to this topic and dive into some of these points I touched on only briefly in much more detail. So if you want to let me know about that, do reach out on social media. I'm mainly on Threads these days. We'll see how that goes if I stick there or go somewhere else. But I have completely abandoned X or Twitter. You can find me on Threads mainly. But of course, I'm on Instagram and everywhere else. I'll give all links to my social media in the description of this episode. So until the next time, thanks for listening. And very happy language learning and happy travels.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you found this episode valuable and want to help us out, please leave a review at languagehacking.com/review. The Language and Travel Hacking Podcast is presented by Benny Lewis and produced by Kittichai Boonthong, with special thanks to the Fluent in 3 Months team. The theme music was written and performed by Shannon Kennedy. Find the show notes at languagehacking.com/podcast. Thank you for listening. Happy language learning and happy travels.